This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Shot Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're reviewing John Jackson Miller's new book, A New Dawn. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Off the bat, we got a guest on today. Hey, Bria.
Hey, everyone. I'm back.
I feel like we shouldn't. Bria has advanced from the title of guest.
Well, what title should we bestow?
Frequent contributor?
Frequent contributor to the podcast?
It needs more zing than that. Come on.
Co-co-host?
Co-co-host. That doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
Think about it. It's like, so I can't think of a person right now, but, you know, the people who are always on, like, late night shows.
Contributor. No.
I'm the band runner.
You're Max Weinberg.
Band leader. Bria is Max Weinberg. Bria is our Max
or
Weinberg.
La Bamba.
Or
this is why I should keep my mouth shut.
The thought of Bria holding a trombone and wearing a La Bamba's stylized hat.
In the year 2000.
And our younger audience has no idea what we're talking about.
You mean you?
Hey! I watched Late Night with Conan.
Let's move on.
Yeah, it wasn't very nice. And that aside, hey, Bria, and now it's time for a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And there's apparently new merch coming out soon.
Yep, Rebels gear coming soon. So stay tuned. And also want to wish Ashley Eckstein a very happy birthday. It was her birthday yesterday. So yay! Thank you, Ashley, for fangirl clothing. We appreciate it.
And so what's new on the blog? Nothing.
We've been lax.
These months where I work the late shift, I just can't write anything.
I blame the lack of new comics.
Yeah, the lack of new comics doesn't help.
I imagine things will pick up once Rebels comes out, and we will probably be reviewing them
every week.
Yeah, I think we should do a rotating review.
We can either rotate, or we can have everyone write the review.
Or we can rotate.
Well, I mean, we can just be like, here's Brian's paragraph about the show, and like a no-go thing, except we can come up with a snazzy name for it.
We should do that for the first episode.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, we might even do just a maybe quick recap 30-minute podcast.
Or we can just include it with the regular podcast.
Or we could do both.
Or we can do both. Or we can do both. Yep, so nothing new on the blog. We've got more content coming out soon. Just bear with us. And on that note, we move to Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to.
I read a bunch of books, actually. My goal for September was to read 2 books and to write 4 chapters, and I have finished 3 books and I've written 3 chapters, so I'm almost done. Yay. But I read A New Dawn, obviously, The Serpent's Head by Brian Young, and The War of the Seasons book 3, The Hunter by Janine Spendlove, which for some reason I hadn't read yet, even though it came out a while back. And I said, I need to fix that, so I did. And I liked all of them. And I also, even though I have a really long list of Goodreads to read, and a lot of books on my Kindle that I haven't read yet, I started reading Heir to the Empire for old time's sake.
As you do.
I finished chapter 3 and they've introduced most of the major players, and that first scene with Mara Jade and Talon Card just makes me have all the feels. Yeah.
So what's it going to take to get you to write some blog posts on this?
I actually said I was going to, but I didn't actually intend to start reading it today. I just kind of did. But don't worry. I'll write some blog posts.
Woohoo!
I'll probably end up doing a chapter by chapter recap.
Okay. Heir to the Empire retrospective. Hooray!
Yeah. Because basically I don't know why I got a lot of EU feels last week, because even though I've come to terms with the whole Legends thing, it's still every once in a while.
You get
I'm
a little
like,
melancholy.
I get a little sad. And so basically knowing, you know, I'm really going to miss Talon Card and Mara Jade, because I sadly don't expect to see them ever again.
Oh.
But if I did. And I also found a really good episode 7 fanfic with Mara in it.
Attic wife Mara?
No, like she's actually in the story. And so I was like, I like read it really fast, and then I yelled at my friend for not telling me that this existed. And then I was like, I cannot wait for all of the fanfics when episode 7 comes out. It's going to be great. And I'm going to probably write some. So.
I don't know why I'm surprised that there's already episode 7 fanfic, and yet I am.
It's a thing that, I mean, like, what's the gender swapped internet rule? If it exists, there's a gender swap of it.
Mm, yeah.
I'm going to dub this rule 101. If it exists, there's fan fiction of it.
Yeah.
I think that's called rule 34, actually.
Yeah.
Except that's usually for porn, but whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's about it. Ryan?
You and I went to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, and do you know what warms my heart?
Mickey Mouse? Donald Duck dressed as a pumpkin?
That too, but...
Star Wars?
Yes, seeing young children, including young...
Girls?
Girls dressed up as their favorite Star Wars
character.
You know
what also made me feel good? The little boy behind us during the castle show that was belting out Let It Go at the top of his lungs.
Aww.
That's adorable.
It was.
The little Asian boy.
We ran into
Yeah, he was so cute.
And we ran into a couple little Princess Leias and Padmes, which was...
And also little Han Solo.
It was cute. It made my heart grow 3 sizes that day.
There was a family dressed up in Frozen costumes. The dad was Kristoff, the mom was Anna, the daughter was Elsa, and the dad was carrying around a stuffed Sven plushie. So yeah, it was good. The parade was really awesome. They had a Haunted Mansion section. The Haunted Mansion keeper and his dog were part of it.
What?
They actually had a dog in the parade.
It was a bloodhound. It was adorable.
That's... I can't even handle the cute.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it.
And then the evil queen ended, or was the last float of the parade, and she was effing amazing. I love her.
So yes, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
It
fun.
Was not so scary.
But quite fun.
And the fireworks were incredible.
Oh, one of the best fireworks shows I've ever seen at the parks.
Yep.
That, of course, brings us to Bria.
Bria.
Yeah. I was trying to reread A New Dawn. I'm like 20 pages short, but I just blame being in IT hell all day for why I didn't finish it. Aside from that, I've just been working on cosplay stuff. I fixed up my Jedi robes because they were in desperate need of fixes. Because apparently once you wear a costume around, you discover what's wrong with it. And you wait 4 months to fix them. And then I started working on another project that you two are aware of, but the general public is not. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I bought fabric.
Wow.
I need to actually plan what that mystery costume is going to be for myself.
Me too.
You probably should.
Well, I kind of know, but I now is the time when actually I could purchase part of it, you know.
Yes.
It's Halloween.
I will probably get a fair amount of mine. Actually, I suspect I will have this done by the end of October. even though the convention it's for is not till, you know, celebration, but whatever.
Yeah. I imagine our costumes will not be as elaborate as some other people's, but they'll be fun.
Hey, this is totally just a fun group. Yes. So people can take it as seriously or as not seriously as they want, as long as we all have fun. That's all I care about.
Our listeners right now are saying, what the hell are they talking about? You'll find
back
out
in April.
You'll find out at Celebration.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's Fixer's Flash. Boy, we've all have not been up to much other than work lately.
Basically.
We're boring listeners, and we're sorry.
I can make stuff up.
Let's not do that. Okay, Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom. R2 and 3PO will be appearing in Rebels.
Yay!
No duh.
Yeah, I am kind of like, really? Must we? But, I mean, if anyone was thinking this wasn't going to happen, they were gravely mistaken.
Well, as a bonus, we're going to get to see R2 and Chopper sass each other.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, that's pretty much the best part of it.
I'm just disappointed that we won't get subtitles for their conversation.
We can make our own subtitles.
Oh, that's what I'll be doing on Tumblr.
We should host a contest for that.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
I'm sure I got something I can give away here to a winner. Okay, we'll get some screencasts from that episode and we'll give something away.
Yeah.
And speaking of Rebels, don't forget you can watch the first episode on the Disney Channel on October 3rd, but you can watch it on September 29th if you have a cable subscription.
Yeah. So how does that work? You just use it on their app, but you log in with your cable information, I guess?
It's kind of like logging into the ESPN3 app. You throw in your cable provider or your cable provider's username and password that you set up with them, and then it'll let you in.
Sweet.
And give you early access to Rebels.
So we will be doing that.
Oh, yeah. I'll be
nice.
I will be streaming that to the TV.
Well, what time is it? Is it 9 o'clock? What time? Because, I think we should be home by them anyway. But
there's a time? There's a specific time for it?
Oh, I guess not.
No, it probably drops first thing that morning.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking.
Which means I'm going to have to avoid Twitter for spoilers until I get home from work.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, and then we will probably record a podcast about it.
Sounds good to me.
Because that's how we roll.
Yeah.
I am back on the morning shift that day, so yes, we can do that.
I imagine, Bria, you will want to talk about Rebels.
No, never. Actually, no, wait. I thought of something I didn't mention for Fixer's Flash.
Ooh.
It has to do with Rebels. White Hot Room is having a Rebels week next week.
Sweet.
Oh, excellent. And I'm just going to say this now. Please cross-post links on Tashi Station.
You know I'm not going to, so I don't know why you keep asking me to.
Then I will do it for you.
He's just trying to steal content.
No, I'm trying to send traffic to White Hot Room.
Likely story.
I am.
Well, I can tell you that we're still working out everything. However, I can tell you that I shot an outfit for Canon this week, or today.
Oh, dear. Did you have a sweet, slicked back ponytail?
You know, I sort of did. I had a ponytail and a turtleneck green sweater.
Oh, God.
Awesome.
Because he's a nerd.
Yeah.
I approve. Disney's CFO says Disney is going to be following the Marvel path.
Yay.
I guess we have thoughts on that.
I mean, it seems pretty obvious that that's the way they were going to go.
Well, everyone and their mother is claiming that they're following the Marvel lead these days. Dan Aykroyd said Ghostbusters is going to follow the Marvel lead.
I still don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Dan Aykroyd just assumes that means, oh, yeah, comics and TV and
drinking
movies.
Too much of the vodka he sells.
The Crystal Skull vodka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about this whole interview or whatever was that they're saying, oh, yeah, they're going to appeal more to women and what else did they say? I can't remember. But mainly I honed in on the women part and I was like,
I hope someone told marketing.
Well, also, I was kind of like cocked my head. I'm like, wait, it doesn't already? I'm like, this is why we fight this battle all the time. It's not that we want them to make stories that appeal to us. It's that they already do and we want them to acknowledge that. Like, yeah, you don't have to like market Rebels to girls. Girls are gonna like it no matter what.
So I mean, all you have to do is actually put Sabine and Hera in the merch.
Well, yeah. So I mean, when I say market, I mean like make the put something in the show to make girls like it because you already have it there. Like girls are gonna like the show no matter what.
Somewhere is a marketing exec at Disney who read these comments from the CFO and his brain just blew up.
Yeah.
Actually, I gotta say, as far as Disney goes, I was really excited when I saw the press release for all their gear, and they had a specific Sabine shirt for girls.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm glad that's happened, and I do wonder if that might be a response to some blowback they've gotten this year.
I wonder if it might be, because also that was like, I think Sabine was the only costume they specifically advertised.
Mm.
I could be wrong. No, wait, I take that back. There was an Inquisitor and there was a really creepy Kanan mask that I was like, just please stop.
It's going to be really interesting because like Star Wars, the costumes are so, you know, prevalent and so popular. And the obvious costume that everyone is going to want from Rebels is Sabine. And it's going to be really interesting that, you know, it's
their most marketable costume is a girl costume. Yeah. A girl's costume.
And I mean, usually they're just like, oh, here's the, you know, Princess Leia costume or the, you know, X-Wing pilot skirt costume, which I think is cute, but it's not a costume. It's a dress, you know. So
that's what our costumes are, Nancy. Didn't you know we can only wear short skirts for Halloween costumes?
Apparently. I wore a skirt for my Halloween costume, but we didn't mention what we wore for Halloween, Brian.
Oh, yes. You were Hannah Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
Prince Luke.
Prince
Luke Organa.
Prince Luke Organa.
Belatedly, as we're driving to Disney, we realized that you should have been Chewie.
I should have been Chewie.
But next year. And then you can go around going...
That's really the only reason you want to do it, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes. It was a really light news week, as you know, has been the case where we get all the news and then no news. But apparently there's rumors flying around about some Clone Wars announcement coming this week, and everyone is getting their hopes up, and it's really probably
it's
just
going to
be...
It's not a revival. It's not a revival. Don't get your hopes up for a revival because it's not.
It's going to be...
It's the DVDs.
Yeah. Blu-ray of the Lost Missions or the complete series or something.
It's
going to
be a complete Blu-ray set with the Lost Missions that, I don't know, might actually be sorted in actual chronological order rather than air order. That would probably be the extent of what you should get excited for.
Yep. That's what it is.
My dog is misbehaving and I'm yelling at her. I apologize.
Mara's misbehaving? What?
I know, right? It's a preposterous idea.
That never happens.
I should have named her Winter, and then she would have, you know, just been quietly calculating all the time.
No.
No. You name a cat Winter.
Could have named her Card.
That's awesome. Okay, that's Deke's jar. Not a whole lot. I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of expecting sometime in the next few weeks we're going to get just obliterated by news.
Well, they keep, you know, showing all these videos, which we're going to talk about next. I'm just waiting for the inevitable actual official set picture, which is going to make me crawl under my desk and start crying, probably.
Well, what week are we all busy? Because that'll be when it happens.
Christmas?
Thanksgiving,
I am
maybe?
Super busy the week of November 10th.
So yep, expect news that week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just get blown over by news at some point. And of course, none of us will be around at our keyboards to actually blog it. So we're going to have to be placing phone calls frantically to try and get someone to their desk. It's not like we've never.
Or someone to a non-work computer in my case.
It's like we've done this before. On that note, it's time for Big's Bullshite, in which we discuss episode 7 rumors and speculation. Totally unsourced, totally unconfirmed. Don't get your hopes up, except for this little bit here.
Millennium Falcon!
Yay!
It's actually like, see, I don't like the set picks. Because they never live up to, like, the actual thing. And I would much rather get a little nugget of info that Bad Robot goes, here you go.
And this was perfect.
Yeah, I cried.
I cried, too. Never before have we seen the Millennium Falcon in such glorious, glorious detail.
I don't even like the Millennium Falcon.
I don't either, but
What is wrong with you people?
It's not like an X-Wing, okay?
You can love them both. You shut your mouths.
I like the Millennium Falcon. I don't love it. I love X-Wing. I love Star Destroyer.
I like the Falcon, but I love the X-Wings.
Yeah.
Which is why I cried when I saw those updated X-Wing photos.
But no, it was perfect. And then there's Batmobile on it, because why not?
Surprise, Batmobile. but yes, the Millennium Falcon. That's confirmed for episode 7, okay?
Also, I thought it already was.
We knew that.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah, they had, well, it was the picture of the Deseret table.
That's right. Also, Brian Young, if you're listening to this show, you're not allowed to troll us by saying that something awesome that would be in episode 7 is the destruction of the Millennium Falcon.
No.
You just invited him to troll you.
Yeah. Seriously.
Because Millennium Falcon should be passed down the Solo line. There, I said it.
Assuming there is a Solo line.
There better be!
Womp womp.
Everyone's dead.
Oh.
Well, that's not much different than the Legends universe.
So. Well, that was what I was referring to, okay. But yes.
Yeah.
Can I just say I am mad that we never got the story in which Han gives Jaina the Falcon?
Write it.
Oh. Yeah, really, come on.
Write that when I write my what Card and Mara were doing during episode 7 fic. I don't care if they, like, if, you know, they have no mention of Luke's wife in a movie. She's gonna come visit him, like she visited him at the Jedi Academy.
Yes.
There's precedence for this happening.
They will be Kevin J. Anderson's trademarked conjugal visits.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It'll happen.
It will happen.
And I'll write it.
The Greenham Common set pictures that leaked out because someone apparently flew a drone over the set and no one shot it down.
I mean, these are the...
This is England.
These are the important things that we're, you know, trying to find out with drones. Not, you know, where the terrorists are, but get episode 7 pictures.
I thought that happened by accident. Or am I thinking of a different flyover? He's like,
apparently a pilot flew over in his one prop plane and spotted that. And then someone else sent a drone up to take more pictures.
Oh, I missed that.
I really have not paid much attention to the leaked pictures because I mean, it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to die from spoilers, but I'd rather wait for like official stuff. So I haven't been
paying
attention.
Avoiding it. I'm avoiding them too. Yeah. I'm trying to, but Twitter is not helping.
Just going to be really fun when like actual info starts coming. And why? Although I don't want to read the novelization beforehand, I probably will end up doing it anyway because otherwise I'd rather spoil myself than have other people spoil me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll just bury my head in the sand.
I think I'm going to have, I'm just going to say this now, I'm going to have a blog policy that we're not putting up a review for the novelization until the day the film releases.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good call.
Especially if none of us end up reading it.
Yeah.
I'll say, you know I'm not going to read it until after episode 7.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about spoilers.
If you're listening at Random House, I'm so sorry, but I can't bring myself to read it before I see the film.
I might just to prepare myself, because for the if we learn certain things beforehand, just from like the crawl and like set pictures and discussions, and we all know what those certain things are that I need to know, then I won't read it. But if we don't know, I'm going to read it anyway, because I have to prepare myself. Otherwise, I'm going to be in the theater going, yeah.
Nancy, angry.
He's not a hermit. He's not a hermit. Where's his wife?
Yeah, so the set pictures. There are X-Wings.
Donald Gleason is really Ben Skywalker.
So the set pictures, there are X-Wings and people in pilot outfits and a half-built Millennium Falcon.
Yay!
This is shocking news.
I know.
I just thought of a really good idea for a shirt, randomly. Picture with Donald Gleason's face on it and under with the caption, Ben Skywalker.
Bring that to Celebration and see what the reaction is.
And put Legends on top of it. I told you I want to make wristbands that say Legends and hand them out to all the Expanded Universe cosplayers.
We are going to bring wristbands that say Legends to Celebration. It'll be great.
Well, you better save one for me then, because I'm definitely getting one.
We will. Yeah. All right, that brings us over to Cammy's Concerns. This week's discussion topic, we are reviewing A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller, the first book in the brand new fiction line.
Yes, and we will be spoiling it, so if you haven't read it, go away.
We gave you almost a month.
Yeah.
Go read it.
Go read it now.
I finished it, so.
And if Nancy finished the book, you all have no excuse.
I actually read fast.
Well, I care.
I'm always busy.
Okay, Nancy, well, this first question we got written on here looks like it's from you, so I'll let you kick off the discussion.
Oh. Wait, do we want to start with whether or not we liked it?
Yeah, let's do that. I figured we would be talking like general ideas, but I just wanted, I wrote stuff down.
Okay, let's do a quick roundtable review. Should you go pick up the book and read it, Nancy?
Yes, I liked it a lot, probably more than I thought I would, because this is kind of like the whole, it's not that I don't like the era, it's just I've always been more interested in stuff that's after Return of the Jedi. But, you know, I would have read it anyway, because I wanted to lead up to Rebels, and I ended up enjoying it a lot more. I thought it was a nice bridge between prequel era and original trilogy. I liked all the characters. It didn't seem, you know, too large in scope, which sometimes books have a tendency to do and fall flat. And yeah, I thought it was really good. John Jackson Miller, I like his writing no matter what, so. Yes. Yay.
And Bria.
I definitely liked it. I mean, it's not Kenobi, which is what I pointed out in my review, because that comparison was going to come up at some point.
It's so hard on that, because Kenobi is such a brutally high bar to clear.
I mean, it's like comparing it to Shatterpoint. Like, you can't. Like, there's certain books you just can't compare an author's other writing to, because they just knocked it out of the park so far that it's scoring a home run in another ballpark.
Yeah, every author's got their good books, but every once in a while they just catch lightning in a bottle and they have this pedestal sort of book.
Yeah. So, I mean, I enjoyed the book. It took me about 50 or so pages to really get into it. But, I mean, I knew I was going to love Hera, because Hera is fabulous and the queen of everything. But I think the book, for the most part, really made me like Kanan a lot better, more than I expected. Because I sort of went into the book and to the show going, okay, great. Another male lead who's a Jedi. Huzzah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really sort of got attached to him, partially because of his absolute adoration of Hera, which is my new favorite thing. And also because he felt like a very logical character for a Jedi who survived the Purge. So
yeah. K- Can we talk about that first chapter, the prologue? Because, oh God, that was like a knife in the heart.
Oh, yes. My heart. Oh.
I'm really, like, usually it's funny because as a writer, the you always get the advice, don't use a prologue. Like, agents will skip over prologues and you don't need them. But, like, in two of his books, Kenobi and now A New Dawn, he has a prologue. And both of the times they're like, I'm like, you don't really need it, but oh God, it adds so much more to that, to Kanan. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, poor little Caleb. Oh. You are prescient.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
You know, as for me, I highly recommend this book. I thought it shows us a couple interesting things. That first, that Disney is cognizant that they do have an adult audience that's going to be tuning into Rebels. I don't know if Lucasfilm would have signed off on this book if they weren't designing Rebels knowing that they've got older viewers tuning in. So that was neat to see. And I'm with you, Bria. It really sold me on Kanan, who I figured was going to be far and away my least favorite character in the show. And now I'm quite excited to see what they do with him.
Yeah, me too. I wanted to add, I'm really glad that he did not use his lightsaber in this book.
I am too.
I really liked the way that he handled, that JJM handled the whole force thing, because, like, you know, as I was getting in more of the book, I, you know, you could see where they were going with it. They were going for the romantic connection between Kanan and Hera, and I,
because they're perfect together.
Yes. And I did not want it to be like, you know, Lois Lane and Clark Kent, where, you know, he ends up having to rush off and be Superman with her not realizing it. Like, I wanted her to know that he had the Force, but I didn't want it to be this big, long, blown out discussion or whatever. And, like, the way he just used the Force and then kind of, like, winked at her, I was like, okay, that's perfect. And then, you know, I could see her just kind of needling things out of him one at a time and not just being like, so tell me all your secrets, because she would not do that.
It was a really it was a really interesting way to do the reveal, but saving the reveal for the show.
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like, what, there were 6 years between the book and when Rebels starts. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that makes so much sense that, I mean, obviously, the end of the book, he flies off with her on the Ghost. So that explains how they, you know, hook up in multiple ways. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. But I feel like it makes more sense, you know, like after maybe a year or two.
With the ship.
Literally.
First of all, I don't want to talk about it. I have not shipped things since I was a teenager, like hardcore ship things. And I'm jumping off a cliff with the ship. And it's really unfortunate. But okay, back to my point is that I feel like the fact that he didn't blatantly say anything and that she didn't press him on the issue means that, like, there's plenty of room for over the next, like, 1 to 3 years for her to slowly find out as he slowly, you know,
opens up to her.
Tells. Exactly. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like there's a whole point where he's eventually going to be like, so my name is actually Caleb Doom.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a point which he goes, yes, I did survive the Jedi Purge.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a point where he goes, my master was Depa Bilba. But it will not be all at once. And they need to continue to build that trust together. So, like, I really like how they did that.
Yeah. I am also really looking to see what continues, like, what translates to the show from the book. Like, the whole thing with the story group is that I want to know, okay, what did the story group tell him to do? And what did he come up with himself? You know, like, did he come up with the name Caleb Doom? Or did they say this is his name and this is his backstory? You know, did he decide that Depa Bilba was his master? Or was that already, like, it's just so interesting to, like, I want to be a fly in the wall during these, you know, discussions. And, like, there's, you know, a few characters who survive A New Dawn, and I'm going to be really interested to see if they show up in the show.
Write down those questions so we can ask
John. See, it's the whole thing with Deppa that has me really intrigued, because she wasn't on the council in Attack of the Clones, right? Or was she?
No, I don't think so.
See, it's that and the fact that she was not used at all in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That had me really intrigued by, like, by what happened. And I'm actually not even completely convinced that Deppa was Kanan's master.
Yeah.
Because to me, I feel like they could have easily kept Shatterpoint canon, you know, and like Shatterpoint ends with Deppa in this giant coma. And they never specify how old Kanan is during the prologue. So to me, I like, for some reason in my brain, because I'm constantly trying to make Legend still canon, I sort of made it work that, oh, she came out of her coma, you know, fairly close to Order 66. And, oh, she defended the Jedi Temple and Kanan and let him get away.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if we're going to see authors kind of writing in a way that makes it plausible. Yeah. To bring over Legends stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things I wrote down to discuss, but since we're talking about it now, I'll just talk about it now. It's like, you know, I think it works really well as a, you know, the first novel of the new EU, just because it stands alone. It's leading up to a new show. You know, there's interest in it. But it's really interesting because it doesn't bring in a lot from the old EU. So it's kind of hard to think, okay, well, this is how things are going to be going forward. Like, it made me happy because I liked the book. And I'm like, okay, well, if all the books are of this quality, it's good. But I think the book I'm really looking forward to, not necessarily because I'm interested in it, but because of how it's going to affect the EU in general, is Tarkin. Because Tarkin is going to have the opportunity to bring in so much stuff, because that's what James Luceno does.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's James Luceno, master of weaving things together.
And if he brings in, if he mentions Admiral Drala, then all bets are off. And if he if he doesn't, then it's kind of like the nail in the coffin. Like, you are not going to see these characters again, because he's the most likely person to do it.
Well, I feel like it depends on the character, because there was a point in A New Dawn where I felt like about 2/3 of the way in, when Kanan's like, yeah, I'm an agent of the Empire. And the Empire.
Yes.
Totally. I felt like that was the perfect opening and the setup for them to one day include an Emperor's Hand, whether it's Mara or otherwise. And like, and I'm not even saying like, I mean, obviously it'd be great in Episode 7. If, Luke's wife, Mara. But to me, it would totally be worth it to have Mara Jade be there as an Emperor's Hand, or even have it just be slyly mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really love that he left that opportunity open, whether he did it on, you know.
Yeah, that's something I would like to know. Like, the whole time I was reading that passage, like, I was not reading the words Agent of the Emperor on the page. I was reading Emperor's Hand. And I'm like, that's the only way that, you know, he
had to have known. You wouldn't have been the only one to read it that way.
Yeah. And, you know.
Plus, it's the fact that Sloane didn't necessarily question that the Emperor had agents, like his specific agents.
Well, and
she questioned that he was one.
Right. Well, and it's the same thing, like, he didn't use, like, he could have been, you know, JJVM could have been using it as, you know, kind of the Inquisitor, because I don't know if you know, the characters like Kanan would know that term, but the Inquisitor is very similar to, you know, the Emperor's Hand. And that, you know, it was an EU creation. And now they're using it. But, like, an Emperor's Hand seems like such a thing that they could use, and maybe even keep it the way Zahn intended, as Mara was the only one. That would be nice. But, so as far as, like, moving forward, I think, you know, A New Dawn was a really good jumping off point, just, you know, quality-wise and, you know, kind of like these are the stories we're going to see. But as far as like what's going to happen to all the old stuff we loved, you know, because they, you know, they will use what they want to use. But I think as far as what's being allowed to use, it'll be really interesting to see how Tarkin turns out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, Darth Plagueis was just basically, let's throw in all these names from random EU sources. And, you know, here you go. Here's this random person.
Okay, James Luceno, I've got a list of names here in the hat. But what can you craft from
this? Vaughn Mara.
He doesn't need a name in the hat. He just knows it. Because he's, yeah, so. But, so,
and do keep in mind that it is early with this new fiction line. So yeah. Once things get figured out, don't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if stuff started getting moved over from Legends.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. One of the new characters was the bad guy, Count Vidian. And he kind of was just fell flat for me. I mean, there were parts that I really like did not. I generally didn't like him. And you're not supposed to like the villain. But like, I hate Namor with a fiery passion. But I also love him because he's so charismatic and jerky and you just want to punch him. But I wanted to punch Vidian, but not in a good way.
Like, Vidian felt very comic book villain to me.
Yes.
And I don't mean that like necessarily in a negative way. I mean it more in the stereotypical way,
mm-hmm.
which also sounds terrible when I phrase it like that. But I mean, if anyone's ever seen Watchmen, there's a line mm-hmm. where he goes, come on, I'm not some comic book villain. Of course I launched my plan like 20 minutes ago and I'm not telling you about it after you can, you know, do anything about it or before you can do anything about it.
The sort of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee era comic book villain with long over the top exposition yeah. of yeah. why I'm evil.
Exactly.
And go ahead. Like, at the beginning, I got a very different impression of him than, you know, it kind of changed. Like, in the beginning, I got an impression that he was very businesslike. He was mm-hmm. all about, you know, efficiency, and he's not going to take any crap. And then he turned into, like, a huge thug. And I'm like, you're just basically some, like, mafia meat guy, you know? I'm like, I was much more scared of you when, like, it's kind of like Grand Admiral Thrawn. Like, Grand Admiral Thrawn doesn't have to go and kick people's asses because he's just frightening. And that was the initial impression. And then when he started, you know, beating people up all the time, I'm kind of like, this is less scary to me, you know? I like the, like, that's just kind of the impression I got. And kind of felt like he was trying to be, like, super bad.
Yeah, and sorry, one moment. We're bringing Bria uh-oh. Back into the call.
Count Vidian got her.
Count, yep.
I think I'm back now.
Okay, we have you back.
Count Vidian got you.
He did. I wasn't efficient enough.
I think I liked Count Vidian a little more than you two did, just because, for me, Count Vidian was sort of the nod that, yeah, this book is leading up to nominally a children's series. So a little more of the ham-fisted villain kind of works in this setting.
But he dropped someone in a pit of acid.
Yeah, that was
not good. That was terrible.
Yeah. And again, I hate to keep harking back to Kenobi, but I think for both me and Nancy, the fact that we're coming off of Orin Galt.
Yeah.
Who is one of the best antagonists yeah. that the Star Wars universe has seen in ages.
Orin Galt was a person I despise with every fiber of my being, but he was fascinating and I wanted to know more about him. And, you know, you got to the end and I was legitimately distressed about what happened to him. I mean, he completely deserved it, but I was like, holy shit. Like, I I think everyone is pretty much in agreement that the other Imperial slash bad guy was the most interesting. And that's Rey Sloane.
Yay!
She better come back or else I'm going to flip so many tables because we got a woman of color in the first chapter and I almost screamed here like joyously sitting on the metro.
I want nothing more than for her to be the new Paleon.
Yes.
I want Paleon to be the new Paleon, but I'll settle for her. Yes. Can we see Paleon Sloane team up novel?
Yes.
Make it happen.
I need it.
Make it so.
Oh man. But you know what? Actually, what I really loved about having Sloane in there is that it bucked against the tradition of white male Imperials.
Yeah.
Because that's all we got for so long. And I understand to a certain extent why we had it, because they were going off the films. But to me, I feel like color isn't, like, human race isn't such an important factor in the Star Wars universe as xenophobia is.
Yeah.
And it never made sense to me that, I mean, well, it did. But, like, in universe, it never made sense that we didn't see more people of color as Imperials.
Yeah, yeah. I think that actually brings us to another one of the points Nancy had written down.
I segued on purpose.
Yay,
way to go,
Bria.
Well, it's actually funny that we, because I, you know, I said I started reading *Heir to the Empire*, and there's the first scene with Paleon and Thrawn on the Star Destroyer on the Chimera, and he mentions he's discussing how or thinking about how everyone is so young, and he describes them as young men and women, and that stuck with me specifically because of this conversation that people have been having. And I was like, I was kind of like wary about the whole like including so many female Imperials, because that idea of the Empire as being sexist has been prevalent for so long. But then as I've been looking back on it, and especially now reading this part, like, okay, there might not have actually been women Imperials in, the Thrawn trilogy, but they at least mentioned that they're on the Chimera, at least.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to get the character, but okay, it was 1991. I'm going to let it pass.
Yeah,
but it really, that whole idea really only stemmed from one author. And it was Kevin J. Anderson, because the whole Dala thing was where that started. Because Izard, I don't think they really mentioned that she was discriminated against. I don't remember that as so much as I remember it with Dala. And that can be easily retconned away as, it being maybe Tarkin himself who was that way and not the Empire as a whole.
And to be honest, I can't even blame KJA for writing that in, because again, at the time, we just had the original trilogy, where all we saw were white males in Imperial uniforms. So, yes, given the information he had, it made sense. But at the same time, I feel like this is such a chance to start over. Mm-hmm. And while on the other hand, I'm perfectly fine with them being like, okay, yes, there are fewer female Imperials, especially fewer female Imperials of rank, because that makes sense. I mean, look at our own military. It's harder for women. Like, there are not as many women in it, and it's harder for them to necessarily get promoted. So, maybe a not even gender split, totally fine with, because that makes sense. But I just love that they got rid of the color thing, because I want more women of color. And I will probably cry if I ever see a Black woman cosplaying as an Imperial captain.
And another thing was that, the Empire as an organization can, can be sexist, but still allow women into their ranks who have proven themselves. Like, I see the Empire as being very, it's inclusionary in the fact that they want everyone to be a part of the Empire, but they don't respect people in general.
Yeah. And
if Sloane herself proves herself the Empire is not the type of organization that's going to be like, no, you can't join us. You know, you're a woman. They would be like, yeah, you're good. Okay, come on. But as a whole, they might be like, you know, like the same thing with Thrawn. Palpatine had no problem bringing in Thrawn because he was genius. But as a general, he, you know, aliens weren't accepted.
And you also have to consider that it's a whole lot more untenable now to write a misogynistic empire in 2014 than it was in 1991.
And also, you can say, okay, the Empire isn't sexist in general. But that doesn't mean that Natasi Dalla, as a singular individual, did not experience sexism. Because, you know, I don't walk down the street and get catcalled, but that doesn't mean that women in general don't get catcalled.
Yeah,
you
know? And
so her experiences could have been completely different.
The misogyny in the Empire, I think, in that period of time did serve a purpose in showing that, yeah, the Empire is bad, and also pointing out that, yeah, you know what's not cool? Misogyny.
what?
But I think today the same sort of social message can be accomplished by showing the Empire is xenophobic. And that's probably an easier message to write without getting into rather uncomfortable real life parallels.
I did get the impression that the xenophobia was still
in play.
I mean, it just makes sense that an organization like the Empire is going to look down on others, you know, and especially like aliens that are less sentient and or considered more primitive. Like, of course, they're going to be like, whatever, we're going to subjugate you because we're the Empire.
Yeah. And also consider that, you know, the state of fiction needs to get to the point where it can write better women in all sorts of different roles. Mm-hmm. That includes being antagonists.
Yes. Yep. It's one of the things I'd really like to see in episode 7 or, you know, the prequel or sequel trilogy as a whole is a female antagonist.
I have a dream of Gwendolyn Christie being an antagonist and it being amazing.
The only one we've really had is Zam, right? Yeah.
In the films? That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, look at Ventress. She's freaking awesome. Everyone loves her. So,
because she's awesome.
Don't tell me it won't work.
But going back to the whole gender thing, like, I feel like this book was so amazing because the main cast was evenly split.
Yes. And you know what? This is how sad it is. I was reading the book and thinking, wow, there's really a lot of women in here. And I'm like, I actually started to think like, okay, this is a little over a top. This person wouldn't be doing this. And then I went, wait a second. This is how screwed up books are because they're making me think that this is trying too hard when it's just equally distributed.
And exactly. There is your commentary on society today.
Yeah, when I'm sitting there going, oh, they're trying too hard. I'm like, no, they're just having an equal gender split.
So if we're thinking that, us, who regularly talks about representation in media, that's how ingrained it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm like, that's why, you know, having Black Widow as the only Avenger is, you know, okay, whatever. Cool, you got a woman. But then you sit and think about it and you're like, but why aren't there three of them? Because there's six total.
Oh, they should bring in Wasp. Oh no, she's fridged.
Don't get me started on that. I'm gonna refrain.
That's another
topic. I want you to know how much effort it's taking to
refrain. That is another topic.
Ugh. Back to a new dawn.
Well, no, it's the fact that we got, you know, out of the six, I would argue there were six main characters in this book. And out of them, three were women and two were aliens. Like, and one was a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's incredible. And I hope this becomes the status quo because
and you've got
a giant galaxy.
And the woman who's in charge of the mining group that Kanan was in was a woman. Yeah,
and an alien.
A woman and an alien who's in charge of the intelligence or monitoring group was, and also holy social commentary there, John Jackson Miller.
Yep. That's another blog post.
Oh, and I'm completely ignoring that Kanan is a character of color, too. Yeah. Can't believe I just did that.
And then, you know, you've got, who else was, oh, and I mean, so you've got, like, women in charge of the mining group, women in charge of the, you know, intelligence group, women in charge of the Star Destroyer, woman with her own ship.
Like, it's Hera's ship, damn it.
Yeah, it is Hera's ship.
I got so angry about that.
She made that quite clear.
Little context there from Dragon Con.
There was a point, okay, for anyone who didn't listen to the podcast or the panel, there was a point on the Star Wars, the Rebels panel at Dragon Con where someone goes, yeah, it's canon, you know, canon ship and all. And then me and Amy Ratcliffe in unison go, no, it's not. That's Hera's ship. And I've never seen anyone backtrack so fast in their life. Because we were so indignant, like, no, that's Hera's ship. Don't you dare.
Yeah.
She is the captain. But yes. Can we talk about Good Guy Kanan?
Yes.
Good Guy Kanan. Yes, we can. Dudes, be like Kanan.
Even though you get the impression early on that he's just, you know, a womanizing jerk. And no, there's more than meets the eye.
My favorite line in the book is the one where, like, Hera is narrating and she goes, you know, Kanan had offered her the use of the apartment above the bar with or without his presence. And I'm just like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't pressure her. He respects her decision. And it's also with or without her presence. That just killed me a little bit. But I don't want to talk about it. My shipping. But yeah. I'm just like, he is a reasonable human being. Mm-hmm. And he's a reasonable response to the, you know, surviving Order 66, because not everyone's going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
People are going to go the exact opposite way.
I really liked that they had him reflect on the message and why was it so short? You know, why did they not explain anything? Like, wait for what? What are we waiting for? And, you know, him just moving around from place to place and him wishing he could turn off the force, you know, should go to marker.
Kanan was a guy is a guy that enjoys the presence of women.
I wish all of you listening to the podcast could see the face that Brian's looking making right now, because he's trying to be so diplomatic about
it. I am.
But
at the same time, and this is why
he sees women as people?
Yes, he's perfectly capable of being friends with no freaking strings attached.
You can like sex, but still see, like, this is what I don't understand. Like, I think, like, you know, the whole idea of men, you know, are women, whatever, as womanizers, you know, and they just see women as objects. Like, to me, it's so much more about a character when they're womanizers, but they still think of the woman as people because it's showing that they make connections. And
oh my God, you know who he is?
Oh God, who?
He's the Joey Tribbiani of Star Wars.
Oh God.
Well, Joey was, yeah, he's a little more depth than Joey. A little more depth. A lot more depth. But, like, you know, he's a guy who wants to go out and hang out with women and have no strings attached, but they're still people to him.
He's capable of forming meaningful relationships with women without expecting, like, something in return.
It just seems like that would be much more gratifying than sleeping around.
So dudes, take note.
Yeah.
Be like Kanan.
And I mean, obviously he is head over heels with Hera, which, by the way, that was such a Leia and Han relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, episode 4, because there's a point where, like, the guy is like, hey, totally in love with that girl, even though he's not saying it. And the girl is like, dude, rebellion.
He's
got to not be dead.
He is
and
Han.
And everyone's like, okay.
He's Han, but 1,000,000,000% less whiny.
No, yes. I think it's a similar relationship, but I think it's also very different because Han, you know, Han doesn't admit right away that he's interested in Leia, or he doesn't realize it Whereas Kanan's like, hey, pretty lady. You know, Han says it as a joke to rile up Luke, but I don't think he actually, you know, he would, he's not thinking that in A New Hope.
Kanan proves
Kanan that seems more mature about
Kanan
it.
Kanan proves that the Jedi can love, but not be overly attached.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I know you're right about it not being the same, like the exact same, but dynamic.
Yeah.
It's a very similar dynamic.
Yeah.
And I loved it because you guys know how much I love Han and Leia. Yeah. So specifically Leia.
Yeah.
But no, I loved that. And I love that apparently like they are actually going to be a couple in the show from what I've been informed / from watching that Hera clip, which is really what made me just go, oh God, I'm over the shipping cliff.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, speaking of that, since we're kind of running short on time, but I did want to mention something that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, the clips we've seen of the show show a very playful, bantery, snarky dynamic between Kara. Kara, there it is, right there. Ship name. Between Kanan and Hera. But in A New Dawn, I got such a different impression of her. Like, she was very serious.
It was a really clever way to write it because you see between this book and the clips we've seen in Rebels, they've had time to really grow into their relationship.
But you can see kind of underneath that she kind of, you know, she has that sense of humor. But even in like the parts where it's her point of view, she's very serious. She's very set about doing her job. You know, she doesn't seem as spunky. And I think it also the fact that she's like 18 in A New Dawn, it shows, you know, because some people when they're young, they're careless. But other people like her and Leia, they're very serious about what they're doing. And it's going to be really interesting to see her character development and why I think seeing more books with Hera specifically, because she gets more lighthearted and like she's not just all about the rebellion, you know, at least in the clips that I've seen, like she's much more willing to have fun.
I feel like she and Kanan sort of balance each other out over those 6 years. As in, like, he becomes a little bit more serious and she becomes a little bit more lighthearted till they're on about the same level.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. She grounds him and he, what's the description I'm looking for here?
Helps lighten her up, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's all the relationships in Star Wars have that. You know,
exactly.
Han and Leia balance each other out. Luke and Mara balance each other out.
Yeah, they're contrasting figures who balance each other out.
And this is how character development should be. Because honestly, if they were the exact same people in this book that they are, that they're going to be in Rebels, I would be like, seriously, come on. Like, it's 6 years. People change in 6 years.
Oh yeah.
Which of course brings me to, I want to see more. More Hera and Kanan books between A New Dawn and Rebels.
Yes, definitely. I need them.
I want to see how they get from A New Dawn to where Rebels. They are in Rebels. I want to see that progression.
And
I need it, and fanfic won't fill that void.
I just got a really humorous image, and it won't happen on the show, but I want someone to make a Tumblr gift set of when Kanan ignites his lightsaber for the first time and like cut to Kara off on the side, like jumping up and down and clapping her hands excitedly. Like, yay!
My boyfriend's all grown up.
Yay!
Okay, well, I think we're going to wrap up the conversation there because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on in 10 minutes.
It's my fault, I promise. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Any quick last thoughts on A New Dawn?
It's a new day of Star Wars publishing.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day for me. Yes.
I can't take that seriously.
And I'm feeling good.
How many puns can we make? I guess wrap up is that I like that it was on a small scale. I like that we got introduced to these characters and that the book seemed to have accomplished what I was unconsciously hoping it would accomplish, as in it made me warm up to Kanan and it's sort of the more, I don't want to say adult because that gives the wrong impression, but it's the more like adult story we're looking for aside from Rebels, because we know Rebels is going to go more kids. It is technically geared towards kids.
Yeah.
So I like that we got this story with like, where yes, Kanan can make allusions to how much he wants to sleep with Hera. And it's, you know, it's not like age inappropriate.
Yeah.
But no, it was overall it was a really good book. And I think it's very accessible, which as well it should be. And that I hope we keep seeing more of this in every era.
This book was brilliantly character focused. I love that. That's something that's been lacking from Star Wars literature for a while. It was nice and contained. It was accessible. The focus was on the characters rather than the set pieces. I think it's a very, very, very solid way to kick off the new literature line. So go buy it.
Please.
All right. Bria, hey, where can we find you real quick online?
I'm on Twitter at ChaosBria and then Tumblr, CorelliaBuzz.tumblr.com. And as always, you can find me on WhiteHotRoom.com, which is my geek fashion blog, which you should definitely check out next week because we are doing a Rebels themed week because I apparently hate myself and am pushing for 5 posts that entire week.
Rebels inspired posts and some cosplay, all sorts of fun stuff. Head over to White Hot Room. It's really cool.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to wrap up that episode. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check the links. Keep the lights running. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy at Nancy Pants, Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you all next week.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.